learning Sefer Tehillim with the parish Ma'am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is shir number 12. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hindman Nila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to our shiurim, our Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 22, pasuk 25. And the pasuk reads, Ki lo vaza v'lo shiket enus oni v'lo histir panav mimenu v'shavo elav shemeya. For he has not despised and abhorred the lowliness of the poor, neither has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. God has not despised and abhorred the prayer of the poor and helpless individual. Neither has he hidden his face from him. That is, Hashem has not brought down the poor man so low that his face is hidden from him, and that he refuses to heed his cries. When he cried to him, he heard. To what can this be compared? A great prince once came to visit a certain country, and the most prominent people in every city sent him precious gifts. These were accepted by officials of the prince on behalf of the prince. Among the donors there was also a poor man bearing a simple gift. He insisted, however, that he must see the prince and personally hand him the gift. He was permitted to see the prince, who naturally inquired why he so much wanted to present the gift himself. My lord, the prince replied the pauper, the gift that I bring you is a very modest one, but it's precious when measured by what I can afford. I therefore wanted to bring the gift myself, so that you would see that I am a man of poor means, and thus render it more precious in your eyes. Similarly, David says here, he has not despised and abhorred the lowliness, the lowly gift of the poor. He has not hidden his face from him. Pasuk Chavav, Pasuk 26. May itchas hilasi bekol rav nedorai ashalem neged jireyov. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. From you is the reason that I am being acclaimed in the midst of the great congregation for my deliverance. You brought about my deliverance. I will pay my vows before them that fear him, so that all the nations would bear witness. As it says below, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to Hashem. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Pasuk 27. Yochlu anovim v'yisbo'u yahalulu Hashem dorshov yechi levavchem lo'ad. Let the humble eat and be satisfied. Let them praise Hashem that seek after him. May your heart be quickened forever. David explains that my vows, the offerings that he pledged, will be many peace offerings of thanksgiving, which may be eaten by anyone. Hence he says, let the humble eat and be satisfied. Let them praise Hashem that seek after him. David tells those who offer the prayer, may your heart be quickened forever. Our sages teach in the future every man will be held accountable for not having partaken of all the things that his eyes behold. Rav Elazar was attentive to this instruction, and he would scrupulously save his pennies to taste of everything new that came out during that year. Pasuk Chav Ches, Pasuk 28. Yishku v'yashuvu el Hashem kol afsei oretz v'yishtachavu lefanecho kol mishpuchos goyim. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to Hashem, and all the families of the nations will prostrate themselves before you. The nations from all the ends of the earth, most particularly those nations who dwell all around the land of Israel, will remember the good that Hashem has bestowed upon me and turn to Hashem. They will abandon their heathen deities because they will realize that these deities are powerless. All the families of the nations will prostrate themselves before you to serve you. Pasuk Chavtes, Pasuk 29. Ki Hashem Hamlucha Umoshe Bagoyim. For the kingdom is Hashem's, and he is the ruler over the nations. The nations will say with understanding that the kingdom is Hashem's, hence he alone may properly be the ruler over the nations. Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk 30. Ochlu vayishtachavu kol dishnei eretz lefanav yichru'u kol yordei ofor v'nafshu lochia. All the fattings of the earth they will eat and prostrate themselves, and they that go down to the dust will bow down before him, and he will not keep alive his own soul. Hashem will recompense all those nations that are from ends of the earth, for they will turn to Hashem. All the fat things of the earth they will eat, and they will acknowledge his beneficence. But those who lack perfection, who all along only pursued the material things of this world, they when seeking the dust will be bowed down before him. He will not keep alive his soul. That is, they will beg to live in the future, but Hashem will not resurrect them, unlike the humble to whom he said that your heart will be quickened forever. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Pasuk 31, Zera Yavdenu Yusupar Ladonoi Lador. The seed will serve him, it will be told of Hashem to the coming generation. The progeny of who will serve Hashem will be reckoned. They will be written down in the remembrance of Hashem for all generations. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Pasuk 32, Yavo'u v'yagidu tzidkoso li'am nolad ki osa. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born, that he has done this. At that time, men will come and declare the righteousness and charitableness that Hashem had performed on behalf of this people yet to be born of that seed. The present psalm is recited on Purim, since Esther recited the same psalm when she came into the palace of Ahasuerus. Some hold that it is also to be recited on the fast of Esther. Chapter 23, Pasuk 1. Mizmor de David Hashem Roi Lo Echzer. A psalm of David, Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack anything. King David has just said in the previous chapter, they will come and declare his righteousness. So he goes on to say here, I too will declare the righteousness of my excellent shepherd. He shepherds me, provides for all my needs, and I lack nothing. David composed this psalm about Hashem's supervision over him because Hashem is my shepherd. I am assured that I shall not want or lack anything. Hashem will shepherd him like a good shepherd who leads his sheep along straight paths to find land for grazing and springs of water. Therefore I shall not want. Hashem is my shepherd. Similarly, Yaakov said, Hashem who has been my shepherd all my life, long to this day. For Hashem, blessed be he, shepherds the righteous as a shepherd herding his flock. Although I am king over Klal Yisrael, the truth is that Hashem is my shepherd too, and I have a king over me. As it says, but I have set my king on Zion, yet I shall not want. That Hashem is king over me does not establish any lack in me. I lack nothing, I have of every good thing. Then again, David asked that he should lack nothing in the world to come. Here he dwelt in the palace and he received his sustenance without toil, for Hashem had put a blessing into his food. So he prayed that Hashem should not deprive him of his goodly portion in the world to come, but lead him beside still waters of paradise. He pleaded for a supernal place of serenity among the scholars of the Mishnah and the Gemara, and to be in the company of Torah judges, for he too was a judge. Others explain, David asked that he always be joyous, content with his portion, to feel at all times that he lacked nothing. He prayed that this thought be his constant companion, Hashem is my shepherd. A different emphasis yields the interpretation, David only asked of Hashem that I shall not want. In other words, that he provide him with only the barest necessities. He did not ask for any luxuries. Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not want. It is the way of the world that when one man invites another to be his guest, at first he plies him with a variety of delightful foods, which keep diminishing as time goes by. It is otherwise for me, because Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. Another interpretation says, I will not lack the main purpose of my food, which is Torah study, for nourishment is for the purpose of Torah study. If there is no Torah learning, there is no point to the flour one consumes. It then loses its principal function, becoming as dust of the earth. Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just as sheep do not suffer from a lack of places to pasture, moving elsewhere when the grass is all gone, so will I lack nothing. Although his treasure vaults were full, David saw himself as a man who lacks everything. Every moment he must appeal to Hashem mercifully to give him his sustenance, like a sheep whose eyes are always upon the shepherd. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Binos deshe yabitzeni al menuchos na'aleni. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. David now goes on to explain how it is that I shall not want. He lacks nothing because the caring shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Good grass and sweet-tasting waters will be found everywhere. Because Hashem gives me my sustenance by making me lie down in green pastures, I am also granted serenity of spirit. For I do not desire more than this. As David said earlier, Hashem is my shepherd, so I shall not want more. When I'm exhausted, he makes me lie down in places where there are green pastures, and when I want to drink, he leads me to places where the waters run slowly rather than in a rush, so I can eat and drink in tranquility. Besides still waters where there are no rocks and stones to interfere with my drinking. These insights are in accord with the following teaching of our sages. If a shepherd leads his flock to the top of cliffs, and one falls down and is killed, that is not considered an unavoidable accident. He must reimburse the owner, even though his intention was that the flock should graze in the excellent and luxuriant grass that grew on top, and even though it is common for shepherds to lead their flock to such high places for just this reason. Hence David says here, as for me, because Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack anything. I will not come to harm. Indeed, I myself go to the tops of cliffs without any mishap. As he goes on to say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I give thanks to Hashem for having provided me with ready sustenance. I did not have to exhaust my days earning my bread. Still waters means me menuchos, just as there's water anywhere on earth, so will all my needs be provided for. As it says, as dew from the Hashem, as showers upon the grass, that are not looked for from man, nor awaited at the hands of the sons of man. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Micha. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Nafshi yeshovev yancheini v'magle tzedek d'man shemo. He restores my soul, life. He guides me in the paths of his righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul, may not make me wander from place to place like a flock herded by an incompetent shepherd. He guides me there and back unheardenly, and he guides me in the paths of righteousness. Rather than up and down mountains and valleys, it is all for his name's sake. I should proclaim his name everywhere on earth. Another interpretation says that David prayed for spiritual tranquility. He asked Hashem to guide him in paths of righteousness and so avoid conflict between his body and his soul. Until now, he asked for his physical needs. Henceforth, he dwells on spiritual matters. He restores my soul, which alludes to the mitzvahs of the Torah that calm the soul and bring it serenity. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake through the performance and deep understanding of the mitzvahs. It is all for his namesake, which makes us unique among all the peoples. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Gam ki eilech begeit salmoves lo iruro. Yes, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Ki ato imodi, for you are with me. Shiftecho mishantecho emi nachamuni. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Were I forced by necessity to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and my life was in peril, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Similarly, a good shepherd will safeguard his flock during a dangerous passage by staying close to the sheep. He will not hand them over to his helpers. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A shepherd usually has a rod for prodding the sheep and a staff to lean upon, but a bad shepherd uses them for smiting the sheep. So David says, I do not fear your rod and your staff, for they comfort me. Similarly, when a sheep strays, the shepherd uses the rod or staff to prod it back into the flock. This is a figurative way of saying that when afflictions come upon a person by the hand of Hashem, they come out of compassion, not out of divine wrath. As it says, O Hashem, correct me, but in measure, not in your anger, lest you diminish me. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Some perceive an allusion to David's wanderings and suffering in the Ziv wilderness, where he fled from Saul's persecutions, as found in Shmuel Aleph. Even there, though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he retained his trust in Hashem, that eventually he would prepare a royal table for him. Also in times of terrible decrees and afflictions, I am assured that your rod and your staff will comfort me. You will set me upon the path of well-being. Your rod, the affliction that you afflicted upon me in the past, and your staff of consolation that supported me afterwards, they comfort me now as well. At the present time too, I trustingly anticipate that they will lift me out of the darkness and into the light. Some identify the rod of affliction itself as the staff of support and comfort. As the pasuk says in Hosea, I have trained and strengthened their arms, and my tears have been my food day and night. That is to say, the mournful tear that afflicted the spirit was to me as the bread that revives the heart of man. For even as my enemies kept taunting me, Aye Elokecha, they would say, where is your God? Their very taunt consoled me. For I heard their saying, Aye, the one who is the source of mercy, he is your God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, and so I know that you have not abandoned me. As the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, I will give thanks to you, O Hashem, for though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comforted me. The blow is itself the consolation. The shepherd himself is absent at times, but he leaves behind his rod and staff. He leaves them near enough for the sheep to notice, and they calmly await his return. Similarly, David says, when you hide your face from me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm assured that you will not abandon me. The term ro'i, as we learned in Pasuk Aleph, may be also related to ru'ua, meaning fragility or breakdown, as in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says, the children of Noph and Tach will break your skull. Accordingly, a subtle reading of the present psalm yields the interpretation. Whether God gives me great abundance, or he brings down upon me blows and suffering, there is trust in my heart that I shall not want. Whether he makes me lie down in green pastures or of good grass, or he leads me beside the still waters, he restored my soul. Lest great bounty corrupt in me, his sole purpose always is to guide me in the paths of righteousness and truth. Therefore, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where I am beset by many terrible troubles, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and there is no doubt that you act for my benefit. The rod of affliction that you apply to me is itself your staff that supports me and keeps me from falling into the pit. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies to strengthen me against the evil inclination. You have anointed my head with oil that has caused my reason to rise above my passion, and my cup runneth over. The divine abundance overflows on all sides. David concludes the psalm by saying, only goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. Everything that comes upon me, whether pleasant or unpleasant, is for my good. For as a result, I will dwell in the house of Hashem forever. my soul will return to the rock from which it was quarried. The present pasuk alludes to the heads of the people who must be its faithful shepherds, just as Moshe, our teacher, had faithfully kept the sheep of Yisro, as found in Chumash Shemos. Said Rabbi Yossi, so long as the shepherd knows how to guide his flock, he is ready to accept upon himself the kingdom of heaven. But if the shepherd is foolish, the Torah says of him, there is more hope for a fool than for him. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Rabbi Yehuda said, Moshe was a wise man, and he knew how to guide his sheep. Come and see, it says about David that he herded the sheep in the desert, in a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. And because he was a very wise man who knew how to pasture the sheep safely in the desert, Hashem appointed him king over Israel. Why did he pasture sheep and not cattle? Said Rabbi Yehuda, it is because Israel is called a flock of sheep, as it says, and you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are men, and I am your God. A pasuk that is found in Sefer Yechezkel. Just as a person who sacrifices a sheep on the altar merits to attain life in the world to come, anyone who guides the Jewish people properly merits life in the world to come. Furthermore, when sheep bear their young, the good shepherd will place the newborn close to his bosom to keep them from straying. He will place them by their mothers, and he will treat them with compassion. Similarly, a true leader in Klal Yisrael guides his people with compassion, not with cruelty. Just as a good shepherd saves his sheep from the wolves and the lions, so the leader of the Jewish people, through proper leadership, saves them from the judgment below and the judgment on high. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Tarach lefonai shulchan neged soro dishanto vashemen roshi kosi revoyim. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Here David goes on to ask for all those things which a good shepherd provides for his flock. Corresponding to he makes me lie down in green pastures, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let them behold my good fortune and grit their teeth with chagrin. Corresponding to he leads me beside the still waters, he says, you have anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That is, may Hashem sate him with the two most superior beverages, oil and wine. Corresponding to, yes, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, David says, only goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. And corresponding to, he restores my soul, he says, I will dwell in the house of Hashem forever. May I find there respite for my soul, as it says, that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days. A pasuk found in Chumash Devarim, in the world that is eternally long. A prepared table implies a table fit for any man, as the sages have said, a table of kings. You have anointed my head with oil. David says, you have already anointed me as king. So I am not afraid of my adversaries and persecutors who want to remove me from my throne and drive me into the wilderness. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Ach toy v'chesed yedefuni kol yimei chayoi v'shati b'beis Hashem orachim. Only goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of Hashem forever. Only goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. So well have I trained myself to practice goodness and kindness, to be good to my soul and kind to others, that would I wish to abandon these practices, they will pursue me to have them continue. Another reading says, I ask of you that your goodness and loving kindness pursue me all the days of my life. Do not beset me by wars and affairs of this world, so that I might find repose by dwelling in the house of Hashem forever. There is to seclude myself, to attune my heart and my thought to serve you, and to proclaim that you are uniquely one. I will dwell in the house of Hashem forever. Alludes to the resurrection of the dead, as foretold by the prophets. And David my servant will be their prince forever, and they will seek Hashem their God, and David their king. A pasuk is found in Yechezkel and in Hosea. A subtle reading of the word ach as a conditional term yields the interpretation, if I were to merit goodness and loving kindness, this would make me feel diminished and humble. Thus it is recorded in the book of Chovas Halvavos, which is also available on tape if anybody is interested, that the early Hasidim would become afraid when they were given the good things of this world. There are two reasons for this. They might not be able fully to give thanks for this divine beneficence, that is, by adequately serving Hashem, and they feared lest the worldly blessings will be debited from their reward in the world to come. Some explain that in the present psalm, David looks back with longing to his early days prior to his ascent to the throne when he tended sheep in the desert. He recalls how in those best of all days he would be all alone with his flock in green pastures, alone with his maker, playing melodies before him with his string and flute, but then he was taken away to Saul's palace to play the harp. Other events intervened. He killed Goliath. Saul's jealousy and hatred were aroused. Finally, he ascended the throne. All these developments were not to his heart's desire, for he still much preferred the life of the secluded contemplation. From time to time, therefore, he would recall those ancient moons before he attained greatness. Now we come to chapter 24, Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk 1. The David Mizmor Lashem Ha'oretz Melo Or Tevel VeYoshvevo of David a psalm. The earth is Hashem's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. In the present psalm, it is made clear that the purpose of creation is to establish the kingship of Hashem in the world. This is accomplished when men purify their souls to attain the loftiest spiritual qualities and become worthy of ascending the mountain of Hashem to stand in the place of His sanctuary. David composed this psalm for the occasion when the ark would be placed in the holy temple, his sanctuary. He composed it after he had sacrificed the burnt offering on Mount Moriah, found in Shmuel Beis, and Hashem revealed to him, making it known that this was to be the site of the Beis Hamikdash. Hence he goes on to describe the qualities that a man must possess before he can enter the Beis Hamikdash, and he concludes the psalm with the verses that will be recited when the ark will be brought into the temple. They begin, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, and everlasting doors, so that the King of glory may enter." This is in this chapter in Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7, of David a psalm. David was a minstrel seated before a king. The king enjoyed the words of the minstrel and wanted him to continue, but the minstrel wanted to cease speaking. So the king said to him, "I beg of you, tell me more of what you have begun to say." David opened the psalm by declaring, "The earth is Hashem's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it." Although the entire earth belongs to Hashem, this particular mountain, Mount Moriah, is called the Mountain of Hashem and the place of His sanctuary, for it is the actuality site of His sanctuary. Of David psalm, this sequence is significant. The Zohar says that the Holy Spirit first rested upon him, and only then he uttered this song. Although Hashem created the whole world and its inhabitants, he distinguished Yerushalayim and the Holy Temple as places of special kedusha, sanctity. There the divine presence would dwell, and there the people had refined their souls through the acquisition of qualities of spiritual excellence would come as pilgrims. The earth, the entire earth, the world, the inhabited regions. Some explain that the earth refers to the land of Israel, and the world refers to all other lands. Out of all the different lands and places, Yerushalayim and the site of the Beis Hamikdash were imbued with a special kedusha. Our sages teach, one man may own a ship, but not the cargo it carries. Another may own the merchandise, but not the ship. It is otherwise regarding the Creator. The earth is Hashem's, and the fullness thereof. The implication is that the Hashem guides the world, like a captain guiding his sheep. Here the Torah says the earth is Hashem's, while elsewhere it says the heavens are the heavens of Hashem, but the earth he has given to the children of men, as this is a pasuk that's found later on in Tehillim. The answer to the seeming contradiction is that the latter refers to the state of affairs prior to the Sinai revelation, while the former pertains after Sinai. Compare it to an emperor who decreed that the people of Rome were forbidden to visit Syria, and the people of Syria were forbidden to visit Rome. But then it came to pass that the emperor of Rome married, and he proclaimed that henceforth the people of Rome may visit Syria, and the people of Syria may visit Rome. Similarly, the Torah goes on to say, who will ascend into the mountain of Hashem? Only that man who has all the qualities of spiritual excellence noted below. Another answer is that one may not partake of the earth's bounty without first reciting a bracha, a benediction, for the earth is Hashem's and the fullness thereof. After one recites a bracha of thanksgiving, the earth he has given to the children of men. After a man has acknowledged Hashem as the master of the world, he may derive benefit from it. It means that one must not merely mouth the words, but recite a bracha with devout concentration, rather than perform by rote with no thought to the meaning of what he says. Let him truly give thanks to Hashem for having granted him the fruit or the bread. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2, Pasuk reads, Ki hu al yamim yisodim v'al nohoros yochoneneho. Please turn tape over to side. Again, Pasuk Beis, Ki hu ayamim yisodav anohoriz yechoneneho, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. No place of habitation anywhere on earth is farther away from the sea than 18 days travel. For man needs the benefit of moisture. For the same reason, he dwells by the rivers. The earth was made to be inhabited, as found in Yeshayahu. And the ready availability of bodies of water keep men where they settled originally. David says that the surest evidence for the divine supervision of the world is that the earth is sustained by water. If Hashem suspended his providence for one instant, everything would be destroyed. Thus the Torah says explicitly, you did cover it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled, and at the voice of your thunder they hastened away. This is found later on in Sefer Tehillim. Originally the waters covered all the earth, as is their nature, whereupon Hashem rebuked them and they dried up. Similarly, Yirmiyahu said to the people of his generation, Fear you not me, says Hashem. Will you not tremble at my presence? Who has placed the sand for the bound of the sea, an everlasting ordinance which you cannot pass? For he has founded it upon the seas, waters the source of purity. And thus we find that there can be no prophecy on the seas, even outside the land of Eretz Israel. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Mi yale bahar Hashem umi yakum b'mkom kacho. Who will ascend into the mountain of Hashem, or who will stand in the place of his sanctuary? I will dwell in the house of Hashem forever, David said earlier, and now he adds that not everyone is found worthy of this. That man will attain this plane of existence who has clean hands and a pure heart, as we'll learn in the next pasuk, and is imbued with all the other qualities of excellence that he lists in the present psalm. Although Hashem has founded the earth upon the seas and established it upon the rivers, and he has given every man and every living creature permission to walk upon the earth and to multiply and be fruitful, not everyone may ascend into the mountain of Hashem or stand in the place of his sanctuary. Only certain choice individuals can do so, and then they are capable of elevating the entire generation. Who will both ascend into the mountain of Hashem and continue to stand in the place of his sanctuary. Some men may be inspired to serve Hashem, but they do not remain at this level. Their fall may be worse than if they had not risen at all. By analogy, one falls harder from a great height than from a lower place. Who then will both ascend and remain upon his high plane? Only that man will succeed who has clean hands. His motives are pure for the sake of Hashem and a pure heart. Again, it's all this is found in the next pasuk. He serves Hashem truthfully from the depths of his pure heart. His deeds then match his words, and of him it is said, the lip of truth will be established forever. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. One who is not of pure heart, and his way of serving Hashem is not refined and cleansed of all impurity, he will fall from his high level. David compares spiritual elevation to ascending a mountain. Three things make it difficult for a man to climb a mountain: excessive eating and drinking, wearing heavy clothes, and carrying a load of silver and gold. By analogy, anyone who desires to ascend into the mountain of Hashem will find his ascent impeded unless he has rid himself of the following three things: a passion for riches, for food and drink, and for nice clothes. As it says, "For my sins have gone over my head as a heavy burden, a masa, they are too heavy for me." The letters of the word masa, mem, shin, aleph, allude to mammon, smolos, achila, money, garments, and eating. Thus the scripture also says, the labor, amal, of fools wearies every one of them. A pasuk that's found in Kehelis, where amal, ayin, mem, lamed, stands for osher, machol, and levush, wealth, food, and dress. The wise man considers the pursuit of these things as a folly. The Torah says, the way of the sluggard is as though hedged by thorns, but the path of the upright is even. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. In other words, the burdens he carries will impede him. To what can this be compared? A man carrying a great weight on his shoulders wanted to ascend a high mountain for a good view of the region. When the people saw him huffing and puffing his way up, they said to him, "If you really want to get to the top and enjoy the view, first take off this heavy load from your shoulders." Similarly, if a man really wants to ascend into the mountain of Hashem by following the pathway of Torah and knowledge, he must first rid himself of his bad traits, practice moderation, and be content with his portion. He will then naturally have clean hands and a pure heart, and so he will be able to stand in the place of his sanctuary. He will not descend from his high level of attainment. Pasuk Dalit, Pasuk 4, Neki chapayim var levav asher nirosa lashav nafshi v'lanishpa limirma. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not taken my name in vain and has not sworn deceitfully. The man whose desire is to ascend into the mountain of Hashem must be perfected in his deeds, in his thoughts, and in his speech. Thus clean hands refers to deeds, and the pure heart means thought, which is to be purified of all false notions. Regarding speech, he says, who has not taken my name in vain and has not sworn deceitfully. David speaks of swearing, which is the most severe of all transgressions involving speech. Although nafsho, or nafsho, is as written, would normally be enunciated nafsho, here it's written as nafshi, my life. David is referring to himself as the king over Israel, saying, "Do not swear falsely, even upon the life of the king. Assuredly, then you are not to swear falsely upon the life of the king of kings, Hashem, blessed be He." A different interpretation says, "Clean hands, a clean body; a pure heart, purity of the soul." Similarly, we find that Yimelech said in the Chumash Bereishis, "In the simplicity of my heart and the purity of my hands have I done this." However, our sages say about him, "Simplicity of heart you have, but clean hands you do not have." One who is innocent of all passion for money has clean hands. He flees from honor because he has no interest in being honored by fellow men for his money. In the process, he fulfills a number of positive commandments and is saved from transgressing a number of negative commandments. his hands are clean of robbery and the coveting of other people's wealth. A pure heart, he has already caused his passions to become empty within me. As we will learn later on, this pasuk in Sefer Tehillim. Who has not taken my soul in vain? He has not borne his pure soul in vain, but has filled it with mitzvahs and good works, and has not sworn deceitfully. This refers to the oath that is administered to every infant in the mother's womb, namely to be righteous and not to be wicked. The man about whom all this can be said is worthy that the divine presence dwell within him, that's Shekhinah. He has not sworn deceitfully at Mount Sinai, where all of our souls took an oath and entered the covenant to fulfill all the words of this Torah, as found in the Chumash Devarim. Who has not taken my name in vain, he has not taken an oath at some time in the past which he then violated, and has not sworn deceitfully, he has not taken an oath for the future to do something which he has no intention of doing. Another interpretation says he has not received his soul from Hashem in vain, but profited from having a soul. The soul comes into this world to profit through performance of positive and negative mitzvahs. It is pointed out that Nasa is a contraction of the word Neder, Shavua, and Isra, pledge, oath, and a vow. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Yisra Barachom Eis Hashem Utsdokar Melehei Yisho. He will receive a blessing from Hashem and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. The man who is imbued with all the above qualities of spiritual excellence is not only worthy of coming into the holy temple to stand in the place of his sanctuary, but he will also merit to receive a blessing from Hashem and righteousness from Hashem of his salvation. That is, he will merit that the good be bestowed upon him, both via the attribute of law and justice and via the attribute of compassion. Another interpretation says, if a man earns his livelihood honestly, a blessing rests upon the labor of his hands. Thus Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perverseness of the faithless will destroy them. If one walks the path of uprightness, this will imbue his soul with fear of Hashem and purity of thought, and in the end cause him to ascend into the mountain of Hashem and to stand in the place of his sanctuary. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. This is the generation of those who seek him, the generation of Yaakov, who seek your face, Selah. This is the generation of those who seek him. This is a generation where such spirituality, perfected people can be found. They are the ones who truly seek Hashem. May it be so. David says that every generation of Yaakov seek your face forever. In another sense, the generation seeks the sublime tzaddik, for he is the desired purpose of each generation. Another reading says, do not imagine that this state of spiritual attainment can only be reached by special individuals. The entire generation can be worthy of it, for the Torah is a straight path, and they can attain this perfection by seeking Hashem and making it their principal task and purpose. Another interpretation says, who are they that they can attain all these qualities of excellence? That is the generation of Yaakov and his descendants who seek Hashem in this world and seek to behold the splendor of Hashem in the world to come. Who will merit to be resurrected? They are Yaakov who seek your face. Those who are named after Yaakov and suffered the yoke of exile and affliction, just as Yaakov was beset by many troubles. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7, Su'u sho'orim rosheichem v'nasu pischei olam v'yavo melech hakavod. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, so the King of glory may enter. Lift up your heads, O you gates, with pride and honor, so the King of glory may enter. For you have been found worthy. Glory belongs to Hashem, for his sovereign rule does not depend on the glory that is bestowed upon him. And be lifted up, you everlasting doors, refers to the Beis HaMikdash, that is also called the everlasting house, the Beis Olamim. Unlike Shiloh and Nob and Gibbon, which were not lasting sites for the sanctuary of the Mishkan, the temple site in Yerushalayim is forever. Hashem is the King of glory. Anu, in the sense that he rules over glory, unlike kings of flesh and blood who are ruled by Anu. This is the reason, according to Torah law, that a king cannot forgive a slight to his Anu, for his Anu is due to the people who consent to be his subjects. Some say that the pasuk relates to the future redemption. Lift up your heads, O your gates, alludes to the gates of Yerushalayim, as it says, your gates also will be open continually, that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, refers to the houses of prayer and houses of study, where men are devoted to matters of eternal life. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Mize melech hakobod Hashem Izus v'gibor Hashem gibor milchama. Who is the King of glory? Hashem strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in war. David spoke of the King of glory, so he now goes on to explain who is the King of glory. He is the Lord strong and mighty, for he can change the pattern of nature, and he is the Lord mighty in war, which refers to the fact that the Holy Ark accompanied the Israelites into battle. During their exile, the Jewish people ask, who is the King of glory? For they see the nations dancing inside his sanctuary. The answer is Hashem strong and mighty. Hashem is mighty and warm. These are the mighty and awesome acts of Hashem, that he watches over one lamb among 70 wolves. Who is the King of glory? Who is this that dispenses honor and glory? There is the implication that just as he bestows honor upon those who are worthy, he punishes those who are unworthy. That is the meaning of Hashem is mighty in war. In this sense, he is the King of honor because he dispenses honor to those who are in awe of him. Pasuk Test, Pasuk 9. Se'u sh'orim roshechem v'su pischei olam v'yavoy melech hakavot. Lift up your heads, O gates. Yes, lift them up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may enter. Once again, the singer says, lift up your heads, O gates. The first time he referred to the first Beis HaMikdash, and here he refers to the third temple. There is no allusion to the second temple, where the Shekhinah, the divine presence, was absent. Pasuk Yud. Mi hu zeh melech hakavod Hashem tzevos hu melech hakavod tzelah. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, tzelah. David says once more, who is the King of glory? And he answers, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. He does not say here, the Lord mighty in war, as he said previously, for there will be no more war in the future. As it says, I will give peace in the land. It's a pasuk that's found in Chumash Vayikra. This matter is explained in accordance with the following teaching of our sages in the Gemara. A man should not venture out on the Shabbos wearing a sword or a bow and an arrow. Rav Elazar says, these are ornaments, hence they may be worn, and it is not considered carrying, which is forbidden. So they said to Rav Elazar, seeing as they are regarded by him as ornaments, why are they to be useless in the Messianic age? Said he, because they will not be needed. As it says, nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither would they learn war anymore. It's a pasuk found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Some ask, shall let these serve a decorative purpose? But Abai said concerning this matter, why it is like a lit candle at noon, which serves no purpose whatsoever. Today, a sword is useful. In the Messianic time, however, when Hashem will activate the spirit from on high, a nation will not lift up sword against nation, a sword will be as obsolete as a candle is useless when the sun is shining. Similarly, the singer says here, who is the King of glory? Hashem, strong and mighty, Hashem, mighty in war. Therefore, lift up your heads, O gates, intervention from below is needed. Men must wage war in order to achieve victory. For Hashem's glory is proclaimed only through the defeat of Israel's enemies. But in the future it will be different. Hashem's glory will be revealed to everyone. Accordingly, the singer goes on to say in the present pasuk, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, that is of all the peoples. He is the King of glory, Selah. Then the everlasting doors for the King of glory to enter will be lifted up. without human intervention. In the present psalm, the singer comes to teach us a great matter. It is that the principal indwelling of the divine presence, the Shekhinah on earth, is not in the tent of meeting or in the Mishkan, as it says, "Where is the house that you may build to me?" A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. The main sanctuary is in the spirit of man, as it says, "The temple of Hashem are these." A pasuk found in Yirmiyahu. Thus our sages say, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." A pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. It does not say "within it," but "within them." For the spirit within man is saintling, and there the Shekhinah finds its resting place. Hence, it is on account of the souls of the righteous in the city that the Shekhinah dwells in the holy temple. Before David began to describe the qualities of spiritual excellence that must characterize the saintly person within whom there is the divine presence, the Shekhinah, he began the psalm by speaking of the axiom of our faith that this world was created by Hashem. This then led him to speak of the divine presence on earth. After we have understood that Hashem has set this earth as the domain of his wondrous supervision, it follows reasonably that he extends his love and attachment to it, for he desires a dwelling place among the creatures below. However, the sins of the early generations of men caused an interruption in this cleaving. Until the others appeared, they began to extend the mountain of Hashem and to draw down to the earth the divine supervision and the divine presence. Thereafter, all the people would become refined and purified until they also extended to this height. The present psalm is recited on the two nights of Rosh Hashanah, for on those occasions we come together to enthrone Hashem as our king, and Hashem's kingship is mentioned a number of times in the psalm. Some say that this psalm is also to be recited in the night of Yom Kippur, for then we obligate ourselves to improve our ways, to attain all those qualities of excellence mentioned in the psalm. Chapter 25, Pasuk 1. The David Elecho Hashem Nafshi Esa, Psalm of David, to you, O Hashem, do I lift up my soul. King David composed this psalm as the plea of atonement for his sins and is also a prayer for the community of Israel. To you, O Hashem, do I lift up my soul. My soul turns to you alone. You forgive my sin, for forgiveness is yours, as we'll find later on in Tehillim. When one wishes to petition a king of flesh and blood, it is usually necessary to go through an intermediary. But I turn directly to you, not to anyone else. For that is your way, that you do not despise and abhor the lowliness of the poor and the helpless man. When he cries to you, you hear him. Some relate Esau to a meal offering. I give you my soul as a meal offering, David says. I pray to you so profusely, I have so drained my soul, it is as if I have entirely offered up my soul to you. Similarly, the scripture says elsewhere, in Eicha, let us lift up our heart with our hands to Hashem in the heavens, which means not only our hands were lifted up to you, but our hearts as well. When one brings a gift to a person of semi-importance, it is presented on the silver dish to one of greater importance on a gold dish. When presented to a king, it is accompanied by precious stones and pearls. Similarly, David says here, what gift shall I bring to you? Because everything is already yours. I bring my soul in a state of purity. When a man sends a gift to another who is greater than himself, the gift is valued in accordance with the stature of the donor and the recipient. I do not look upon myself as a king, but simply as David. What can I possibly send as a gift to you? You are Hashem, and in relation to you, nothing is of value. So what can be fitting gift from me to you? I have nothing that is of importance except my soul. A godly portion from on high, so to you, O Hashem, do I lift up my soul. The Medrash says, David longed to be in the holy temple. As it says, Hashem, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, who will ascend onto the mountain of Hashem? It's in the last chapter. Whereupon Hashem said to him, do you not know
that he that has clean hands and a pure heart. Immediately David rejoiced and said, I possess those qualities, he said. As it says, Hashem has sought him a man after his own heart. A pasuk that is found in Shmuel Aleph. I have sworn it and have confirmed it to observe your righteousness ordinances. When David was informed of this, he rejoiced. As it says, as the cold waters to a faint soul, so is good news from a far country. A pasuk that is found in Sefer Mishlei. He said, to you, O Hashem, do I lift up my soul. Our sages have instituted that the present pasuk be recited daily prior to the prayer of prostration, which is the Tefillas Apayim, in accordance with the teaching of the Zohar, that at the prayer of prostration, a person is required to actually offer his life to Hashem. This is Tachanun. To you, O Hashem, do I lift up my soul. To you and to nothing else. All else is of no value. And one who desires to cleave to Hashem must abandon all matters of this world. Thus we find in the case of Elisha that he left his mother and father and attached himself to Eliyahu, as found in Melachim Aleph. Accordingly, David says here, to you, O Hashem, do I lift up my soul. I go into seclusion and no longer have any portion or inheritance in the matters of this world. The present psalm, like others in the Sefer Tehillim, is based on the ordering of the Hebrew alphabet. Every new verse begins with another letter in proper sequence. However, the following exceptions were suggested to the author by divine inspiration. One verse includes two letters, no verse begins with the letters Beis, Vav, or Kuf, and two verses begin with the letter Resh. Hell is called Bokeh, whose root is the same as the missing letters Beis, Vav, Kuf, which is seen as an indication that the person who recites the present psalm will be saved from hell. Some say the one who recites this psalm will not see desolation and emptiness. Thus the scripture says, the earth will be utterly empty. Havok Tavok, a pasuk found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Others say that the psalm was composed according to the order of the alphabet, simply as an aid to fluency, and that it should not be forgotten. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Elokai b'chol b'tati el evosho al ya'altsu oyvayli. My Hashem, in you I trust. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. My God, in you I trust. Because of my trust in you, I beseech you. Let me not be ashamed by not denying my plea. Let not my enemies triumph over me by granting what I ask. To what can this be compared? A man was found wandering about at nighttime, and the city wardens were about to arrest him. Leave me be, he shouted. I am the son of a king's daughter. Next morning they brought him before the king and related they had found him wandering the streets at night. He is not the son of my daughter, said the king. When he asked the man why he had lied, the reply was, when I saw they wanted to arrest me, in order to save myself, I purposely told them that was your grandson. The king turned to the wardens, leave him be. I do not want him to be humiliated for having placed his trust in me. Similarly, David says here, in you I trust, because I placed my trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. In the next pasuk, he goes on to say, I plead not only on my behalf, but on behalf of all who are in awe of your name. Let them not be ashamed. Let only those be ashamed who betray me without cause. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Gam kol koivecho lo yevoshu yevoshu abogdim reikom. 2. Let none who look at you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who betray without cause. Now that David has prayed on his own behalf, he also pleads on behalf of others as befits the perfected man. 2. Let none who look to you be ashamed. David says to Hashem, when I stand and pray on behalf of myself and on behalf of your people Israel, may my prayer not be distasteful to you, for their eyes are turned to you. Attend to my prayer as if it were their prayer. Thus the Talmud relates, Choni HaMagil would draw a circle about himself and declare, Master of the world, your children have turned to me as to one who is welcome before you. I swear by your great name that I will not move from here until you grant my petition. Let them be ashamed who betray without cause. Similarly, this Torah says at the conclusion of this psalm, Consider how many are my enemies, and the cruel hatred whereby they hate me without reason. As our sages declare, Esav might hate Yaakov because he took away his birthright, but what wrong did Yaakov do to the Barbaries and the Antonines? Pasuk Dalet. Derechecha Hashem hodieni orchasecha lamdein. Pasuk 4. Let me know your ways, O Hashem, teach me your paths. Let me know your ways, David pleads, as Moshe our teacher had pleaded before him. Show me now your ways that I may know you. A pasuk that is found in Chumash Shemos. We know him by knowing his ways, and that is to say, how he conducts the affairs of the world and the relation of the one thing to another. Your ways that are known openly by all, and your paths that are concealed and require study. Another interpretation says, your ways, the laws of the Torah that are known and followed by everyone. Your paths, conduct that goes beyond what is required by the law. Thus the Talmud relates, porters broke a barrel of wine that belonged to Rabbi Bar Chanan, so he took away their garments. But they came to Rabbi for his judgment, and he ruled that the garments be returned. Is this then the halacha? Demanded Rabbi Bar Chanan. Yes, replied Rav, as it says, that you may walk in the ways of good men, a pasuk found in Mishlei. Give them their garments. Then the porter said to Rav, we are poor people, and have after working a whole day, we have nothing. So Rav told Rabbi Bar Chanan to pay them for their labor. Is this the halacha? Yes. And Rav replied, yes, as it says further, and keep the paths of the righteous. It requires great erudition and study to know when one is permitted or even required to act beyond the requirement of the halacha. Accordingly, David says here, teach me your ways. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Hadricheini v'amitecho v'lamdeini ki ato Elohei yishi oischot yevisi kol hayom. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my deliverance, for you do I wait all the day. Guide me in your truth. David pleads for Hashem to instruct him in his truth until it will have become natural to him. Hence, teach me, drill me, for you are the God of my deliverance, and so deliver me from every circumstance that might prevent me from the following in the path of truth. For you do I wait all day, because I have no one else to look to except you. After yes, let me know your ways. That is to clarify for him the divine attributes whereby Hashem conducts the affairs of man. David now asks for knowledge of the truth that is hidden from all men. He does not ask for conceptual knowledge, but prophetic insight into these matters in accordance with the pasuk that says, the secret of Hashem is with them that fear him. Regarding the practical aspect of human action, that is the Torah and its mitzvahs, David says, guide me in your truths, and regarding the theoretical aspect, which requires intellectual effort, he says, and teach me. In a related sense, he asks that his theoretical study lead him to a faithful application of the laws of the Torah, for which special divine help is required. We are learning Sefer Tehillim with the parish Ma'am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 12. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hindman Nila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to our Shiurim, our Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 22, pasuk 25. And the pasuk reads, Ki lo vaza v'lo shiket enus oni v'lo histir panav mimenu v'shavo elav shemeya. For he has not despised and abhorred the lowliness of the poor, neither has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. God has not despised and abhorred the prayer.